Fáilte, my name is Andrew Healy, and I'm a lover and drinker of Irish whiskey. I'm on a journey of discovery to learn as much as I can about the great spirit of the Emerald Isle. Along that journey, I'm lucky enough to meet other people who are passionate about Irish whiskey, and the My Favourite Irish podcast is their story and their favourite Irish whiskey. Whether that's their current favourite, their first ever dram, or one that has a special place in their life. On this episode, I got to spend some time with Justin Baird back in November. Justin is the manager of Trailhead Liquor in Bend in Central Oregon, and he's a big Irish whiskey lover. I've known Justin for a couple of years, as we're regulars at Trailhead Liquor when we visit, and I finally got to sit down with him, get him on the record, so to speak, and we had a great old chat. We chatted about Justin, his love of whiskey and spirits, and we chatted about liquor sales and distribution in Oregon, as it's a control state. We talked about truck chasers, a new expression to me, and how they manage those people at Trailhead who are constantly in search of hard-to-find or unicorn bottles. We talked about some of Justin's favourite places in the area for a great cocktail, and we even went down a rabbit hole of sorts on rye, aged rye, and American single malt whiskies. And yes, we talked about Irish whiskey as we sipped on Justin's favourite Irish whiskey, which is the Egan's Legacy Reserve 15-year-old single malt. A real treat of a whiskey, I might add. Listen along. Fáilte Arash, you are welcome back. And we're not at a bar today. Justin, where are we hiding at the moment?
We're in the office of Trailhead Liquor in Bend, Oregon.
Okay, so we are somewhere where we are surrounded by liquor and yes. Whiskey and lots of other goodies, but we're not at a bar. So
no.
So Justin Baird, shop manager, store manager. What's the official title here?
Manager. Yeah, manager. I'm store manager.
Just manager. So store manager here at Trailhead Liquor in Bend, Oregon. Folks will know I'm a big fan of this part of the world. And folks will also know that, I suppose, your boss, Angela, was the very first person to put her hand up and say yes to me when I started this My Favourite Irish Journey. So back to have a chat with you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thanks for coming.
No, and folks won't know. Obviously, this is recorded. It's a chilly morning here in late November.
It was 17 degrees when I left for the store this morning, so...
So for folks who listen to this on the other side of the pond, that's 17 Fahrenheit.
Yes.
When I woke up this morning, it was 12 Fahrenheit, and I did the conversion, and that's minus 11 centigrade. Mm-hmm. So for a pasty Irishman who doesn't enjoy the heat, I really don't enjoy the cold either.
No.
So they make you hearty and kind of character-filled up here in Central Oregon.
They sure try. They have their extreme weathers, and sometimes you just have to bundle up. Or
And I suppose... Given that it's we're just past Thanksgiving, it's getting cold up here. We should probably start our chat by getting something into the glass, and you've already poured some here.
I have.
So we're here to talk about your favorite Irish, but we're also here to talk about you and the shop and Central Oregon and whiskey generally. So we should raise a glass. Let me grab a. We've got a couple of glasses here, so let's do a sláinte. Sláinte.
Sláinte.
So what have we got in here? What's your favorite Irish? And we'll come back to it later and talk more.
This is a Egan's 15. That I got here at the store a couple years ago. It was a gorgeous bottle and a great price, and I had tried their more entry-level stuff.
Okay.
So I grabbed this, and it's a great go-to special occasion bottle.
Okay, so I'm guessing there was a little bit of this consumed last week over Thanksgiving?
A little bit of this. I had some, along with other Irishes, the Jameson 18... Bowmore or Bow Street.
Yeah.
Great one for Thanksgiving.
Great whiskey. Lovely. There's a lovely depth in this whiskey. I can see why it's your go-to special occasion.
Of the Egan's, this one's just bourbon barrel finished, so it's nice and light and crisp, and I know they've done others that have different finishes. This is a good one.
Good. And it's your favorite, and it's what has brought us together to have this
it
chat.
Is.
So, like a lot of people here in Bend, you're not from here. A lot of people come to Bend. It's a great city. Folks will know that I love it here. But you're a kind of a Northwest, Pacific Northwest guy, is that?
I am. I was actually born in Hawaii.
Okay.
Then went to Idaho. Then went to the Seattle side of Washington. And all before I was like 2.
Okay.
And so most of my life was in the eastern side of Washington, which is a lot of the same environment as Bend, high desert.
Yeah.
And so I've lived in, went to college in Idaho, then moved to Corvallis down Oregon, and then moved up here.
So I'm doing counting here on my finger. That's 8 or 9. I've almost run out of fingers.
Yes.
So lots of changes of addresses over the years.
Lots of changes, just, you know, get up and move every once in a while, go try something somewhere else. And
it's part of the American way, though, isn't it?
It is.
To move around.
It is, and it's nice to do.
Yeah, and obviously all of it, most of it in this part of the world, which is, you know, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, it's a beautiful part of the world up here. So.
It is very nice.
Yeah. So, in all that moving around, there must have been a first whiskey. And where was that, and what was it? And then what was your first Irish?
I mean, first Irish that I appreciated was Redbreast 12. I saw it on a bar, thought the bottle looked gorgeous, sounded good, and loved it for a sip. Before that, it was a lot of poorly constructed Jameson shots, or...
You're not the first person to say
no,
that.
No, it's... And a lot of the ones that I had, I didn't care for the Jameson.
Okay.
I was like, this has a weird taste to it, doesn't go with the rest of this, but I feel like it was put in there as the shot whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure you're familiar with the history of Jameson. Is one of the reasons we still have Irish whiskey.
It's
the global brand that, I won't say it on its own saved Irish whiskey, but certainly it was, if we didn't have Jameson as a brand in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, then we would have been in trouble.
Yeah, it would have been a pretty dire situation, but that was, I mean, I don't think I'm alone saying Jameson was the first, but... The first appreciated one was Redbreast 12.
And folks will know that I'm in the same boat as you. Redbreast 12 started this journey for me back in 2016. Interesting, we talk about Redbreast, but we'll touch on pricing at one stage. You've seen pricing go like...
Go this. Insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And not just with Irish, but in other areas as well, other whiskey categories?
In every category. Everything from... tequila has gone insane the past couple of years. Scotch, anything imported, unfortunately, to the States has gone up quite a bit.
Yeah. And but even American whiskeys are going up in price.
They all are, yeah. And the demand's there. The market's there for it, but it's gone quite wild.
Now, we didn't have this on our chat list here, but I'm going to go off on a quick tangent because... Mm-hmm. I follow you guys on your social media, particularly Instagram, and you do a great job on that. But every now and then you post about your unicorn rules or your unicorn whiskey or unicorn liquor rules.
Yes.
That plays into pricing, obviously, and demand and supply.
Yeah.
You want to just let folks know what you guys have done to make ungettable whiskey more gettable?
We have a sign-up sheet or wait list. It used to be that when we get our delivery on Fridays, the same group of people would be waiting. And they would always try and snag up anything that we had gotten in that day. And then people would come in, you know, later in the weekend or later in the week, and, you know, they didn't really have the chance to get some of those. So we decided to create this list where you put your name and phone number and the top two bottles you're looking for.
Okay.
Because a lot of people come in with like a list. They're like, do you have any of these? And so we limited people to just two options. You can sign up once.
Okay.
And as it comes around, like, we'll give you a call. You have 24 hours to come in and buy it. And it's helped regulate the truck chasers.
Is that what you call them, the truck chasers?
Yes, people that have the schedule of everyone's delivery and they're there waiting when they open. And
wow, I didn't realize it was that serious.
It is. It's more serious in bourbon, in American whiskey.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's oddly gotten a little higher in tequila the past couple of years. People looking for specific brands that are hard to get.
So obviously then that helped you to spread the love in terms of allowing everyone to get their hands on hard to get, limited release, etc. Going a little further on that one, where Oregon is a control state.
It is.
A lot of people won't know that, and they won't know what a control state is. Here in Oregon, liquor is controlled by the OLCC, which is the Oregon Liquor and Cannabis Commission, if I'm correct.
Correct.
I always thought it was great that they put liquor and cannabis together under one entity. pros and cons of control states. For me, one of the pros is I can look up inventory at your store, at any store in Bend or any store in the whole of the state, and I can see if somebody has a particular Irish whiskey. And obviously, you know, I'm taking some Redbreast Kentucky Oak off you.
Yes, you are.
This week and bringing it back to California with me. Is the con side of that, that these truck chasers know who has what, when it's coming, and...
Sometimes. Usually, like what you're referring to is... OregonLiquorSearch.com.
Okay.
Where you can look at, the public can look at the inventory of stores and see if something's around. That is usually 24 hours behind.
Okay.
So if I get something in on Friday, it won't show up on there until Saturday. And, I mean, it's a good way to find other items, but if you're looking for the hard to gets, they probably won't show up on there.
Okay.
But like in your sense, looking up hard to get Irishes, like the Kentucky Oak, is I can see if anyone in Bend has it or anyone surrounding Central Oregon has it.
Yeah.
But it is a good way if you're looking for something different than everyone else.
Yeah.
It's a good way to find it.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. And taking the kind of the delivery truck and the OLC and putting it together, OLCC together, I'm guessing that one day a week is the delivery day for Bend and it comes from a central warehouse. So all six liquor stores here in town, same day?
No.
Even messier.
It varies on, I think, your sales. Like we get one on Friday.
Okay.
And there's a couple stores in town that get two a week.
Okay.
Like Tuesday or Wednesday and Friday or Tuesday and Thursday.
Okay.
It really just depends on the demand of the store.
So that's how the truck chasers know who's getting what and when.
Yeah, and they'll go in, and I mean, it's good to talk to your store and people find out when your delivery days, but like we had the same people just waiting every Friday. And
are these, sorry to go
no,
on.
It's fine.
No, I find it fascinating. Are these people customers of yours, or are they just single bottle chasers?
Most are single bottle chasers. They're just trying to see what you got that day that's hard to get.
And as a retailer, you gotta look after the folks who are looking after you every week of the year.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't like that, but it's like it's in our best interest to have repeat customers or consistent customers, but people that come in and only want to buy that one $70 bottle, it's like, it's not, I mean, it's a sale, yes, but...
It doesn't help pay the bills.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So, back to you and whiskey. We talked about your first Irish being, you know, obviously, you know, Jameson back in the day, but the one that really kind of opened your eyes to Irish whiskey was Redbreast 12-year-old.
Yeah.
You've seen the category grow over the years.
Immensely.
Yeah. I haven't done a count of what we have out on the shelf here in the store, but I'm going to guess there's 60 to 80 SKUs.
Yeah.
It's just a rough guess. How does that fit in with whiskey generally? So, American, Canadian, Japanese?
It's kind of right in the middle.
Okay.
Like, American whiskey's growing at an alarming rate. There's a new brand every week. There's a new SKU every week. existing distilleries come out with a new line that, you know, take up more shelf space. And the demand for bourbon and American whiskey is enormous. Scotch is kind of held steady.
Okay.
It's, I mean, there's more, we've noticed more independent bottlers, people that will buy a barrel from Glenmorangie or Kalila or something and release it themselves. But the brands in Scotch have kind of not really expanded a lot.
Okay.
They're kind of just staying very consistent. Whereas Irish, like one we have this week, Bushmills, just put 4 new finished whiskeys in Oregon. There's a Bordeaux finish, a tequila finish, a Burgundy, I think, finish.
You have piqued my interest.
Yeah, Justin. It's really wild, but I mean, even Jameson has expanded from their basic green bottle to, you know, black barrel, stout, IPA,
yeah,
and even flavored of orange and coffee.
Yeah, we'll talk not too much about that.
No, but everyone's expanding. Even, yeah, Redbreast came out, the American Oak,
yeah,
the PX,
yeah,
which...
I wish I could get my hands on more PX.
I agree. Supposedly more is coming to Oregon, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, like, the 15, the 21, the 27 is... Irish is expanding very well. Not at the rate American is, but definitely a lot more than Scotch.
And would you have hardcore Irish whiskey drinkers, people who come in who would pick a bottle of, whether it's, you know, regular Bushmills, you know, original or Black Bush or Bushmills 10, and you now would say, hey, we've got these new finished whiskies that you might want to try. Is that kind of how it works? Your Irish drinkers will stay in their Irish lane?
It's a funny habit people have is they will stay in their lane, whether it's any brand or any category.
Okay.
Like Johnny Walker Scotch has very dedicated fan base that won't expand beyond, you know, the bottle they've had for 20 years. And
that's it. That's what they, yeah, like.
Yeah, they're like, this is what I've liked.
Yeah.
I've tried others. I'm good with this. Irish... And every category, people will come in, especially this time of year for the holidays, and be like, I want to get them a nicer thing.
Yeah.
But they drink, we'll say, like, Tullamore Dew.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, he always drinks Tullamore Dew. I'd like to give him something nicer. It's like, oh, well, we have Tullamore 16 here. Or we have any of the red breasts,
yeah,
or some of the nicer Teelings.
So something with an age statement on it.
Something with an age statement, something that's a little more money that,
yeah,
the individual that they're buying for, or them themselves, would never, like,
yeah, no, it makes sense.
Expand into. Yeah,
makes sense. It reminds me of when I first, as we've talked about, Redbreast 12 was what got me started on this, when I first had Redbreast 15.
Mm-hmm.
And now I go back and forth between the two, you know, obviously 3 years of extra age.
Yeah.
12 would be a go-to, not quite a daily drinker for me, but
yeah,
whereas 15 is a bit more of a treat.
Mm-hmm.
Whiskey, you've got a little bit more depth of it, but similar to what we're sipping on here now with an Egan's 15. You don't pop this on a Tuesday night. This is, you know, an end of the evening,
yeah,
you know, real nice treat whiskey. So it's great that people trade up around the holidays. It's obviously helps you guys sell,
yeah,
more interesting whiskeys across the range. So no, that's great to hear.
A good example in Irish for that is Rider's Tears.
Mm-hmm.
Is in Oregon we only get the regular, the double oak, and the cask strength. And the regular and the double oak aren't too far off in price. And so we're usually like, if you like this or if you like the regular, the double oak, which is a favorite in the store for a lot of the employees.
And I know you carry the cask strength there.
We do.
Yeah, yeah.
That one jumps a bit in price, yeah, from the other two, but it's... Yeah.
And you don't know this yet, but I've brought, because as I do, I've learned in the whiskey world, when you go traveling and you meet people who love whiskey, you bring a few bottles that they can't get in their part of the world.
Oh, yes.
So I'll be back in later in the week, and I've got some of the Rider's Tears finished in the Inniskillen ice wine cask.
Ooh.
For you to try.
That's very exciting.
So, yeah, and I know that there's a culture in the whiskey world of sharing great whiskeys with other people who love them. So
yes,
we'll be back later in the week.
I'll be here.
So, yeah, we're in Bend for the week. So, obviously, talk about the shop, Trailhead Liquor. It's one of six liquor stores here.
Seven
now, is it? Yeah. Okay. How long are you here, working here?
I've been here since before the store. I came here part-time from another manufacturing company in town as a warehouse logistics guy. And so I took a part-time job here as Angela was opening, setting up the store. And after a while, she convinced me to come over as the manager.
Made you an offer you couldn't refuse.
Made me an offer you couldn't refuse. Good time for a change. And
okay. And obviously, whiskey and spirits, whiskey particularly, but spirits generally, have been a passion of yours.
Yes. And I enjoy all categories. Like, all my whiskey friends always laugh at the variety I have, because I love tequila.
As do I.
Scotch, especially peated scotch, has always been the foundation.
We'll have to talk more about that.
I'll gladly talk about that. But yeah, there really isn't a category that I dislike.
Yeah.
And but it was interesting coming to the store. Before that, I knew a couple American bourbons, but wasn't really, wasn't a big part of my collection.
So that's grown?
That's grown a lot.
Okay.
Being at the store, but it kind of goes in cycles. Okay. I still gravitate back to Scotch and Irish and tequila.
Okay.
So,
it makes sense. And you mentioned Angela. Obviously, you're the manager. She's the owner.
She is the owner.
She's a good boss, you have to say.
She is a good boss, yeah.
Yeah. No, she's been somebody who's been very good to me.
She's been very good to me.
Yeah. No, and I sense when I talk to her and I see your stuff online and I come into the store here, there's a wonderful kind of team spirit. I know we overuse that term so often, but you seem to have a nice vibe here as a team.
We do. We love educating each other. It's definitely something we've enjoyed over the years. Of a new employee comes in, they don't know a lot about, categories, and between my collection, Angela's and her husband's collection, and others, it's like we can educate and share new drinks with people,
which is great.
And so the staff can actually tell customers, I've tried that, it's great, or this one's better, I like.
And that's why, I think that you and I are of a certain age. I have more gray hairs than you, but I love sharing knowledge and experience that I've picked up with other people and opening their eyes.
Yes.
And seeing their eyes get wide open when they've taste something or try something, or they put one and one together.
Yes.
And I think it's great that you guys are very positive on that front. I think it's, as I said, it's part of the vibe in here. It's really positive. One thing folks should know about Oregon, apart from the fact that it's a beautiful part of the world, is there's no sales tax here.
There's not.
So for those folks like me who live in Northern California, there's a few dollars to be saved coming up here. Although pricing can vary, we know that alcohol pricing is across the country is
all over the place.
Literally all over the place. But if folks are coming to Oregon and they're whiskey lovers, there's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% to be saved here.
It's true.
Depending on where they're from.
Well, and it's interesting being in between Washington and California, because in Oregon you can only get liquor from OLCC stores. So people from California come up and they're like, I couldn't find vodka at Safeway or Costco. But we don't have the tax that Washington does. So, like you mentioned, people come from Washington to save the money because they have the state tax and a liter tax on top of their alcohol.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. But whereas we can't put things on sale, the price is controlled by the OLCC. So people from California be like, oh, can I get a discount by the case? They're like, no, it's...
Yeah, I've tried that.
Yeah, it's an all summer, all year, being a tourist community is people are either shocked in a good way or a bad way about how it's run. And
yeah. No, it's different. It's different. Yeah, it's not the free market.
Yeah.
So, no, it is what it is. You touched on visitors and tourists and people coming visiting. So, Bend known for many, many things.
Yeah.
But outdoors, we call it an outdoor mecca up here.
If
you have an outdoor sport that you enjoy taking part in, you can do it here in Bend.
You can. Anything.
So, what are your favorite things to do? And obviously, a lot of it's seasonal.
It's all very seasonal. And a lot of people learn coming here that you're going to find something every season. Mm-hmm. Water sports are huge all summer, kayaking, floating the river, fishing.
Yeah.
But once that temperature drops, everyone's going skiing, snowshoeing, snowmobiling.
Okay, and you're a snowshoer, you told
me. I'm a snowshoer. I used to ski, haven't done it for many, many years, but I like kind of the quieter snow aspect.
You also like being able to come to work the next day. And
it's true too, yes.
Not having damaged joints.
Yes. And then I love kayaking. I have a kayak that I'll haul around the wilderness around here all summer.
The Deschutes River would be the obvious place for a kayak.
It would be the obvious place, a quick place. There are many, many lakes up the highway into the mountains that are great to go hang out for the day or go camping on the other side of the lake.
And then other favorites of yours, obviously we've talked a lot about whiskey in particular, but places to go here in town or in the area. So Bend is one of what I call the triangle of towns or cities up here. There's Redmond and Sisters as well. That's what I call the triangle. So is there anywhere with a great bar, a great restaurant, a great cocktail bar that people should go if they're here in any of those places?
A great bar for just relaxing is at O'Kane's. It's part of the McMenamins Hotel here.
That's a new name for me. Thank
It's also a cigar bar.
Okay.
And so it has a bunch of outdoor fire pits, and it's this old church or old school or something.
It's the old
there's
school.
Stained glass windows all inside, and they have this large cast iron stove inside to heat it. And it's a nice place to just sit on a cold, sunny Sunday and.
Okay.
You know, they have great prices on pours of stuff. I haven't tried many of their cocktails. For cocktails, there are places around a lot of the restaurants. Boss Torres, Lemon Tree, San Simone.
Yeah.
All great cocktail places.
There's a great cocktail culture in this town.
There's a very good cocktail culture. And Central Oregon's a big American whiskey. Like hearing about stores in Portland compared to Bend. Bend is a big American whiskey. So most any restaurant or any bar is very well stocked with
whiskeys.
With available whiskeys to try.
Quick tangent, again, not on our notes to talk about, but we say American whiskey, and that's obviously a category in which there are subcategories.
Yes.
One of the things I'm seeing, and as a retailer, please let me know if I'm right or wrong, I'm seeing rye have a resurgence within American. Is it happening here?
Yes. Rye is growing huge, aged rye. Because for a while, rye was what you mixed with. It's what you made Manhattans out of, some old fashions or something. But sipping on rye has grown really big the past couple of years.
And that'd be more the aged rye.
More the aged rye, more the higher proof rye.
Okay.
Rye is definitely growing again.
Okay.
American single malts are.
That's a whole new area.
It's a whole new area, and they're growing a lot. There's always a new one. Even the big guys like Jack Daniels put out a single malt last year. And
well, you know that a category is a happening category when the big boys get involved.
Yes.
They don't get involved in something if there isn't money to be made.
Correct.
But I'm wondering, and I've been reading about the American single malt category, if It actually is an area where the independents, the smaller distilleries, are going to really make their mark in it. Would that be a fair comment?
I think it would, because a lot are already established. In Oregon, we have Westward Single Malt out of Portland.
Yeah.
They make great stuff. They're very well known across the country. Westland out of Seattle has been doing single malts for many, many years, also a big name. So even if I think, you know, the big companies start getting into it, there'll always be this foundation of American single malt in the existing companies.
Yeah, from local and independents.
Yeah. Another one, Balcones at Texas, is really big in American single malt. And
no, it sounds like we could, so folks will know it's the morning. We said that earlier on, and you've got to open the store.
I do.
We've got to finish the little drams that are in our glass. But we could sit here all day.
And we could.
We could go off down lots of different rabbit holes. Justin Baird, store manager here, at Trailhead Liquor. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
It's great to see you again and actually chat on the record. We've chatted off the record plenty of times.
We have.
We'll wrap this up and we'll say sláinte.
Sláinte. Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode. You'll find more episodes wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll find the My Favorite Irish video series at irishwhiskeylad.com. That's Irish Whiskey with an E, LAD.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, I'd appreciate it if you could take a couple of minutes to leave a review or a rating at your favorite podcast platform. Until next time, sláinte.